loving one another is to entertain one another. Now, that's the part that accompanies you when you're talking about welcoming them. Hey, come on in. Can I offer you some sweet tea? Hey, you're up early. Let me fix you a cup of coffee. I've got donuts. Can I come over? That's a surefire win for 40-something carbs. I've worked with those guys long enough to know that everything can be absolutely perfect right up until showtime, and then the gremlins show up, and nobody can tell you what happened. They hate looking bad, and I hate looking bad on their account. No, I hate looking bad for them. To welcome, to entertain, to become fond of. Have you noticed there's some people you hang around with and you think, boy, I'd like to get to know them better? Have you ever noticed that? Do you follow up on that?
Yeah.
See, that's how friendships get started. To become fond of, and as you spend time together, you come to love them dearly. Because there's something about the crucible that meshes us. Life's crises, shared experiences, bring us a bonding that endures over time. Now, I've had plenty of occasions in the last little while to think about such things. I had an occasion to boast on Prague recently, and I did it with great gusto. Often, other pastors get that, "Yeah, right," look when I tell them how great you guys really are. Because we've been through some stuff together. And God has meshed us. We've brought babies back from the dead. We've brought grown men back from the gates of heaven, and they've told us about it. We have endured betrayal and pain and suffering and grief. And we've known rejoicing and ecstasy and great triumph. And those things have given us a character that a lot of places don't have. I'll mention this to you because I was so thrilled just to hear it. Our good friend Sam Solon gave me a call this week, and he'd like very much to come visit with us this fall, and I told him I'd do what I could to work it out. It's not a straightforward situation, but we're going to labor at it. Because he said of us that in his opinion, as he's traveled, we are, what would my bartending son call it? We are top shelf. Oh, did I say too much? The things you do to work your way through college, it's amazing, isn't it? He went on to say that he felt like that what God had deposited from his travels around the world and his extensive travels in this country, he felt like that what God had deposited in this congregation, the Lord wants to use as a template for other situations. Not just in the way we conduct our lives, but in the influence the Lord is giving us regionally and internationally. Now, that's a good report on you, and I wanted you to hear that. Now, how many of you went, "Who, us?" Who, us? See, one of the things that you lack when you hang around the same place all the time is perspective. You got to get out more. Really. I think in shifts we ought to go visit other churches on Sundays. That was a former Baptist talking, so I'm completely at ease with that. But the Scripture admonishes us to be lovers of one another. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. We're not going to answer it right away, but I just want you to consider this for a moment. This is the question. If we are to love one another, then what does love look like? Let's consider from Galatians chapter 5 and chapter 6 the look of love. Beginning in verse 13, I believe, of chapter 5, I'm going to read to you for a little bit. Now, this is from the New American Standard, 1995, updated. For you were called to freedom. Brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law. Can you imagine reducing your Bible to one sentence and just carrying that around? The whole law is fulfilled in one word, the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. How many of you know he's not talking about reaching over and biting somebody on the arm? You're clear on that? See? But what do you use to bite with? Comes from the same place as kisses, doesn't it? Which is to be more desired? Words or kisses? You know, I felt in the asking you'd be afraid to answer. I'd rather be kissed than chewed on. Just between you and me. All right? But I say, walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit sets its desire against the flesh. How many of you are hosting a tug of war? Every day. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Pause there. Love, joy, faith, gentleness. These are what? Fruit. Have you ever held a piece of fruit? Where did it come from? How did it get on the tree? Where did the tree come from? Okay, so where did the fruit come from? The seed. Do you know you have the seed of the fruit of the Spirit in you? It's already maturing in you. It's there, and it's causing you lots of problems. You aware of that? It's the fruit of the Spirit that makes you say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. Don't you hate that? Don't you want to be right all the time? Regardless of what it costs the relationship? That's why there's a lengthy process to get a divorce. Somewhere in there you have the opportunity to go, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Can we start over? That's the seed manifesting itself. Did you know the Lord will bring seasons of encouragement to that seed? good friend of mine told me a long time ago, and I took it to heart. He said, Lanny, when you see the fertilizer truck backing up to your front door, don't panic. You're in for growth season. The Lord arranges opportunities for weed whackers to come in order to give the fruit opportunity to mature. We've been through a lot of that stuff. And you know what I consistently see? I see us demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, in particular, I see us loving one another in very practical ways. Nod your head if you've ever noticed that around here. Yeah, a couple of you. I'm glad to see that. Tim, make a note. We need to arrange free eye appointments for people who can't see the things of the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, and let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. Wait a minute. Is that what that says? Bear one another's burdens. Each one bear his own load. We'll come back to that. The one who is taught in the Word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Russ Dobson. Thank you, Ken Sola. Ken for the crabs, Mary for the cottage, Russ for the fishing trip. They're sharing good things with the one who has taught them in the Word. I hope it catches on. I'm just teasing. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially, can you say especially? Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, I want you to notice three specific proclamations concerning love in this passage. And it begins with verse 13 in chapter 5. It ends with the last verse we read in chapter 6. And right smack in the middle, there's another one. In Galatians 5:13, we are admonished, through love, serve one another. Serve one another in love. Because of the presence of love, activate your life for the benefit of someone else. Because of what Christ has put on deposit in you, it will force its way into an expression of gracious service. Are you aware of that? All right, let's not talk to the selfish people. Let's talk to those who love. Are you listening? And in this, what does love look like? That's the question. Through love, serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love one another as yourself. Through love, serve one another. What does love look like? Service. It looks like doing stuff. We get involved in doing stuff. Have you noticed that? We regularly inconvenience our lives for the sake of someone else. How many of you have ever made a trip to a hospital in Washington, D.C.? Oh, I'm sorry, to visit someone. Now, why did you do that? Was it because you felt like you wanted to be with them? Did you think it was because it might encourage them? Was it because you had that one last card and you figured you could dump it on them? You went through a great deal of trouble because I was up there recently in traffic. That's laying down your life for someone else, trust me. A couple of those roads has taken your life in your own hands for someone else's sake. Through love, serve one another. Why do you suppose that any woman in her right mind would say, yes, I would love to have 20 strangers, virtual strangers in my home every week on Wednesday. Yeah, I'll be happy to clean up and to host and to prepare some kind of spread. What kind of insanity is that? It's called crazy love. Welcome them, entertain them, become fond of them, love them dearly. So much so that when they don't come leave a mess in your kitchen, you call to make sure they're okay. Is that what love looks like? Love looks like Chris Freese standing in the back a few minutes ago. Now here's the guy. He's in charge of the usher team today. He's got many responsibilities, none of which included holding the Jamerson baby. But there he was, and all of a sudden he came to himself and he said, honey, would you take this baby? I've got to go take care of the communion stuff. Now, how did he get in a pickle like that? Because when he saw the need, he said, hey, let me do that. Now, that's what love looks like. That's not just being nice to people. He's dressed up. You know what babies do to people who are dressed up? I'm trying to help you see that love is not some emotional something that carries me away on wings of splendor and I can't eat and I can't... There's only one kind of love that does that. But the love we're called to is a practical expression of love. For instance, the next admonition, the proclamation to love, is in Galatians 6:2. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. The whole law. The law of Christ, even. What does it mean to bear one another's burdens? How many of you have ever been involved in dashing to someone's home to clean it up before they came home from the hospital? Now, I know there's more than two of you. Who else? Thank you. Or you've gone out of your way to watch their animals so they could go off and play for a week. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at this dog co-op. How many of you ever stepped in financially, whether overtly or anonymously, to support someone you knew who was in a difficult time? They had unexpected bills. They were laid off from work. Now, just in case you have forgotten what love looks like, that's love. It's a very practical expression of bearing one another's burdens. Now, just a couple of verses later, Paul says that everyone should bear their own burden. Now, that's a relief to those of us who have been bearing someone else's, isn't it? That's the part where the Father says, get off your lazy and get to it. See, none of us want to be on the receiving end all the time because an ugly thing happens. When you receive and receive and receive, there's a debt load that piles up emotionally that the receiver begins to carry. And Paul's admonition is stand up and begin to give back into the process. How many of you have ever been able to extend help in the manner in which you have been helped? Now, that's something different about the kingdom of God. I'm sure you know nice people in the world, people who don't know Christ, who do some of these things anyway. But I'm sure you also have been acquainted with those who don't do any of these things. They live exclusively for themselves. We, however, have been charged by the DNA the Spirit of God has put in us to begin to express that stuff, lest it become frustrated, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Do you know what the law of Christ is? It started out like this way. He starts it out like this. A new commandment I give you. Now, a moment ago, Paul said, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you fulfill the whole law. Now he says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. See, it went from your neighbor to one another. When we deal with one another, we're not talking about our neighbors anymore. We're talking about the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, the standard is much more difficult. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. Can you remember what it was? That you should love one another as your neighbor? That you should love one another in the same manner with which I have loved you. Yikes. It's a whole lot easier to love by the standard of yourself than to love by the standard of the Lord. You know that? Because there's just some things you won't do for people that He'll do. He'll love them on their bad days. He'll still talk to them when they've been naughty. And He asks that same thing of us. So, while we have opportunity, chapter 6, verse 10, let us do good to all people, and especially those of the household of faith. Now, whatever it is you would do for a co-worker, you need to be willing to do that for a fellow believer. But there are some things that you will do for a fellow believer you might not sacrifice for to do for a co-worker. It's a matter of family ties. Did you know that this can get real hard? How many of you married people know love can get real hard? You ever feel like you need help in this whole love business? Well, good. Because the Calvary has already arrived. Look at this. Chapter 5, verse 16. Walk by the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 18. If you're led by the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit. Chapter 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Guess who's involved in this? Hallelujah. You might not trust you to do it right, but you know you can trust Him to do it right, even through something as crooked as you. Isn't it amazing how God can use something as crooked as us and draw a straight line? We had a little prophetic encounter the other night in a meeting, and there was an image given where a very serpentine-type road, one that looks like a sharp river meandering, a road going like that, and the road sign being a straight arrow. Now, who can do that but the Lord? See, God is determined to get us to the goal. And you know, if you stand back far enough away from a crooked road, it looks straight. You non-visual people just don't get that, do you? There's something the Lord's done to us that we didn't sign on for, but it came with the package. And you've had occasion to experience this phenomenon and think, oh, where'd that come from? It's written like this in Romans 5:5. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You are ruined. You will never be the selfless thing that you were before you came to Christ. You're incapable of it. Every time you act selfishly, you feel bad about it. Now, is that a bum deal or what? You get to do what you just set your mind, you're going to do what you please, and then you're not pleased. That is such, that's wrong. But Paul wrote about that. He said, and because you have been given the Spirit, you will no longer do what you please. Have you ever done what you pleased and got in trouble? Like, you know, over and over? Thank God for the Holy Spirit, huh? All right, tomorrow. Now I ask you, what does love look like? And there's a point to this. We'll come to it. But what does love look like? Well, here's what love looks like this week. This week, I sat with a brother on the ride to the hospital. And then we sat with a brother. And I watched the brother with the brother. Pat Stanley went in for an angioplasty. He ended up having a double bypass. Surprise! And I watched him rearrange his week. And I accompanied him. And I watched him sit there and affirm Pat. I heard him tell him, you know, brother, I really love you. And I'm praying for you. And others are praying for you. And then I listened to Pat begin to tell us stories about the many people for whom he bears routine concern. Because those of you who don't know Pat well probably don't know that he's an institution in this town. Down at the lower end of our society, where the really hurting and the financially needy and the children who've been abused and the ones who've been abandoned and the ones who have fallen into becoming charges of the court, they know him. You know why? Because years and years he has invested in their welfare. He gives to them. He takes them into their home. He counsels them. He's mentored troubled youth who have gone on to become professional people. So I watch love encourage a dispenser of love. And it looked like a hospital visit to me. But it was a whole lot more than that. The love of God spoke to a daughter and her husband, and they thought, well, we're going away. Why don't we get aging mother one of these press the button for life things? You know how those things are? You press the button, somebody comes and knocks on your door. Well, lo and behold, they needed it. Neighbors came to the aid. Maria DiGiovanni went to the hospital. She had emergency surgery. She's still recovering. And then her 70-something-year-old cell leader drives from the far end of the county with one of her peers to visit a peer in the hospital and to dote and to pray and to express affection and to carry the burden of someone else's welfare in their heart for days. Do you know what that is? That's what love looks like. It's very practical. It's very observable. We see it around this place all the time. Last Sunday, we laid hands on Robin Atkinson, released him with blessing to send him off into his new venture down in the Chesapeake area, Portsmouth, Norfolk, somewhere down there. Monday morning, he falls 20-something feet out of a tree, breaks 3 vertebrae, fractures his left hip, dislocates his right shoulder, and is laboring with fluid on the lungs. Person after person after person, taking the children, bringing food to the house, sitting at his bedside, gathered around Kim in the nursery emergency room. When you take a man to a hospital emergency room, it's a lot like a nursery. Oh, did I say too much? Another kindness that I heard reported from one of the people in his small military community. It's a small subset of the Navy, and they pretty much all know one another. And one of them took it upon himself to announce to the entire community what had happened. More phone calls, more good wishes, more promised help when the moment comes. Don't confuse human kindness for the love of God. Sometimes if we don't look closely enough, we don't see those things. We misunderstand what we're looking at. For instance, we've got a little gal here. What is Rachel, 9? She's 9 years old. A couple times a week, she puts on her Sunday best. And she goes to visit the elderly at the Asbury Retirement Community across the river. And she's very popular there. Because not only does she practically serve them, she's now taking to reading to these people. And she loves it. And they love her. And she does it because her parents have trained her that love looks like service. And she's been doing this kind of thing for several years. She was chief cook and bottle washer to Doug and Alma Moultrie before Alma died, during that whole season when she was declining. Rachel was a regular over there, helping to cook, helping to clean, patting hands, listening, telling stories, doing puppet shows. Would you like a visit like that in your day of tribulation? To welcome one another, to entertain one another, to become fond of, to love dearly, to the place where we serve one another, because it's the expression of what we have become. This morning, Patty Clark, Marie McGowan, and Nikki Baker are at the local jail ministering to people who are in crises. They come home and they talk about these women. They buy books for them. They think, how can we help them get a job? What can we do to encourage them? Now, why would anybody care? It's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love is practical. Love is service. Tonight, we take on a new page in our adventure as a church. I've been invited by those who would ascribe some kind of apostolic mantle to me to come and set a church in order and declare it to be a church. Now, some of you know our friends, Bob and Mary Jane, right? How they started a fledgling work. June of last year, I think it was. Second week in June. Is that right, Lee? Second week in June last year they started. I think it was the third or fourth week in June he had a heart attack. So one Sunday or two Sundays into it, Bob's laid up with a pretty serious heart attack. Our people have been driving up there every Sunday evening for a year to lead worship and do child care. We've supplied prophetic ministry. We've supplied different teachers, both men and women, to preach at their events. And they have become a viable congregation. And tonight we're setting that thing in order. Our people driving an hour and a half one way every Sunday for a year. You know what you call that? Brutal. No. Commitment. Lunacy. No. That's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, why would you care what's going on an hour and a half up the road? The Lord has done something remarkable to us. Do you know that? You might live out there among the mannequins, but you're the real deal. You are flesh and blood, skin and bone, empowered by the Spirit of God to do exploits in the earth. You have been equipped and called from on high to be something different than everything else around you. And the testimony, the evidence is overwhelming. If we have eyes to see what the Spirit of God is doing, you can wake up and be encouraged tomorrow because love is on display around here. And I know this. You take it with you. I enjoy Hilton Garcia very much. He hears conversations differently than I hear them. If I ask someone, tell me what you think about Bruce Almighty, I mean, tell me what you think about the movie, Bruce Almighty. When someone asks him, what do you think of the movie, Bruce Almighty? He hears, come share the gospel with me. We each have a sphere of God within us that we are to carry into all the places where we go. Now, I know Hilton's heart is consumed with a great passion that those men with whom he works would come to know Christ. Not only for what he fears may be their destiny, but also because of what he knows Christ can do in them. We have a wonderful gift to give away. I'm trying to put it on display today. See, love is both a gift and a process. It has been given to us and it's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But it's also a fruit that must be developed. Anyone familiar with the term pruning? You know what that is? That's when a tree stands there bearing fruit. And the husbandman comes and cuts it off at the elbows. So it will bear more fruit. How does that work? That's death working in us that life might work in others. I used to be so amused about some things in the kingdom. Remember praying, God, use me? Anybody ever pray, God? I remember praying, God, use me. Anybody ever dumb enough to do that? And then, you know, you feel used. And it's like, yeah, but not like this, Lord. I don't get to see Kudzu very often, but the Reverend Will Be Done is one of the characters in the cartoon strip Kudzu. And I don't think he heard from God, but he took it upon himself to become the pastor to the fabulously rich. So he could sit in their hot tubs and counsel them. He could sit at their banquet tables and fellowship with them. And I thought, just for fleeting, well. See, we don't get to make the call. Because love is a process in which we get to discover what God wants to do through us. Here's an observation I want to make for you. We have got a potload, I mean, and a growing potload of exciting young people in the 18 to 28 year old category here at Prague. And there's some, oh, by the way, 18 to 28 year olds, come out of your stupor for just a moment. I want to speak to you. The gathering we were going to have later this afternoon, of necessity, must be rescheduled to immediately after the service today. I suspect that it will not take long. Brian, Anita, wave at me. They both slipped out downstairs. How long are we expecting that to run? 15 or 20 minutes. We have to curtail things because something has come up. But for those of you who have not yet joined us for one of our gatherings, let me encourage you to do that because we're talking about some really, really exciting stuff for that category of folk, and all people are not invited. So 18 to 28, we might shade it a year or two if you're really, really something. But I got to spend some time with them recently, and I asked them a question. And, you know, it's a question you can answer in your mind, but I'll try to give you some of their responses. I didn't have the presence of mind to write them down at the time, so I've drawn upon the good part of my short-term memory to try to come up with some of the things they said. But I asked them this question. What was it about Prague that when you came, you decided to stay? And the answers were very revealing. They said things like, it felt like home, the small group for newcomers, the food, the warm fuzzies, read hospitality, the food, this person or that person, the food. And they had kinds of food. They had the spreads at the cell, and they had the lunches after church, and they had the the special get-togethers they do for movies, dinner and a movie. But what was interesting to me, and the reason I started off this today like I did, and I told you were doing something very important. What was interesting to me, none of them mentioned the worship, the teaching, the anointing, the presence, prayer, until I said, well, what about, and they went, oh, yeah, yeah, worship's good. Now, that's an important little tidbit of data from a very relevant group of people within a specific age group among us. And I'm going to tell you why. When we consider the issue of serving one another in love, we have to appreciate that there's a process we must go through in earning the right to influence their spiritual pilgrimage. And we do that with food. I heard that loud and clear. But we're social creatures. We want to be valued. We want to belong. We desire the fellowship of others. And we do like to eat. Now, all the things they said to me were about welcoming, entertaining, and becoming fond of until we have begun to love one another dearly. Y'all remember that, don't you? You know, it's just, oh yeah, worship is okay. Yeah, we like the teaching. Yeah, yeah. Mentoring is good. But when are we going to eat? See, the gift of hospitality is a wonderful thing. Administration is an important thing too, but if you had to choose between administration and hospitality with food, it's a no-brainer. And we have got excellent people among us who do all of those things well, and they do it from the heart because they know people need to congregate, and when they do, there has to be direction brought to it. Now, this issue of winning the right to influence someone's spiritual development is an important issue. And I want to bring us to close on this theme. I am optimistic about my future as an influencer of other people because I know that the Spirit of God has placed in every believer the desire to come into maturity. On any given day, I can ask you, is this as far as you want to go in the Lord? And I can't believe I would find one of you who would say, yeah, this is it. I don't want to go any farther. Our spiritual DNA calls us to excellence. It calls us to maturity. It demands to express itself in that direction. And one of the frustrations that believers go through is that unction inside when it has no room to be fulfilled. Now, there are other places you could be in fellowship. There are other congregations who would be delighted to have you come and sit among them. But if sitting is your long-term goal in the kingdom, I am committed to making you uncomfortable. Because I know that there's going to be a day when we individually stand before God and give an account of the grace that's on deposit within us. And I so long for that day to be a day that brings you great joy and that there be much, much fruit in attendance of your appointment with Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. I really have that desire in me, and it's a real troublesome desire. There's no shortcut to maturity, but in my opinion, there is a clearly defined path, and I'm willing to put you on that path. You've got to be willing to go, but I'm one of the pastors in town who's willing to put you on the path. I can give you a gift that will set your course toward maturity. I can give you a gift that I guarantee will bring change for good in your life, and it doesn't matter what age you are. That gift has a name. Drum roll. Thank you. You are so responsive. See, it's so easy to minister here because you're so supportive. That gift has a name, and it's called... Are you ready for this? The gift has a name, and it's called responsibility. See, when you are responsible for something, it awakens something in you called accountability. And accountability with responsibility are the tracks that take you toward maturity. Now, you know that from the other aspects of your life. It is also true in your spiritual development. So I want to ask three questions of three different constituencies gathered here this morning. Those of you who benefit from your close relationships with others here at Prag, you should know who you are by now. The question is this: isn't it time that you shared that same relationship opportunity with newcomers? My short-term memory is good. It's just not very long. Jackie, where are you? There you are. Jackie's brand new to the community. Excuse me, Susan. She's from Pennsylvania. She's fresh out of college. This is a new community for her. She's employed down here looking to build a life. Now, there's a whole group of folks who have found their spiritual family here. She's going to need one. Now, we might not match her DNA, but somebody needs to come alongside of her and say, hey, let's get a DNA test and find out. Those of you who know what it's like to be alone down here, to be away from family, realize every week, it seems, more folks just like you are coming into town looking for fellowship, looking for someone to break bread with. Be what we were to you. Be that to them. Embrace them. Don't hog it all. Share it. Secondly, those of you who desire that experience of belonging, you know, I told some stories today about people giving care, and you could imagine yourself in a place of need. Would anybody be there for you? Those of you who desire that, any time you quit making excuses and started congregating in a small group where people can know you and become fond of you and grow to dearly love you, Yeah. Everybody's life is busy. But this is life. I don't expect to ever hear at a deathbed, and I've been at a few, I don't expect to ever hear this: oh, Pastor, I just regret I didn't spend more time at the office. I just regret I didn't sock away one more retirement plan now that I'm on my deathbed. No, you hear things like, I wish I'd spent more time with my children. I wish I'd spent more time serving God. I wish I hadn't waited so long to get involved with the things of the kingdom. It's time to start congregating with those who can become fond of you. And it won't be bad, because first they'll welcome you, then they'll entertain you with food. Finally, those of you who know you're called to leadership, you know this. You're making excuses. You've been hurt someplace else before, but you know you're called into leadership in the body of Christ. Isn't it time that you re-engaged with that activity that will take you into greater maturity? Let's stand. Let's ask our hearts those questions. And let's find out if the Holy Spirit is making an appointment with your future that begins today. Let's pray. Father, we are never too old, and we are never too young. Lord, I thank you in this moment specifically for the youngsters, 12 and under, who are demonstrating commitment to Christ, commitment to one another, and a call to leadership in the body of Christ. They are in this house, and I bless you for them. They want to take charge of services. They want to begin ministries. They want to go to the missions field. Lord, help us not to do anything other than simply make a way for those things to express themselves. You have given us a wonderful deposit of the love of God in our hearts. And I see it every week being shared at one level or another. This week, Lord, your love was on display in a dozen different ways. And here are the recipients and the repositories of that eternal affection. I'm calling us, Lord, in your name, to a higher place in God. You have given us great character as a congregation. You have done some wonderful things, Lord, in shaping us through adversity and triumph. But the demands on our future require that we move up, farther up, and farther in. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to turn us upon the spit until we come to grips with the call of God upon our life, the love of God through our life, in service to one another, to the glory of the one who has saved us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you, patient people. Just...